Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. So, when you are enjoying one of the great treats of late summer, corn on the cob, how do you salt it? Show of hands, how many of you, after buttering, salt the entire ear of corn? That's the right choice. Now, how many of you salt a row of kernels at a time, then meticulously eat that row before applying salt to the next row? None of you are going to raise your hands now, are you? So my father-in-law is one of you later folks. So much so that we have given him his own salt shaker when the family eats corn on the cob, because otherwise we're just constantly passing him the salt. Recently, this salt shaker drama has escalated. Last Thanksgiving, my sister-in-law hosted like 24 people. It was all of the in-laws, my parents, my brother-in-law's parents, my brother-in-law's sister's in-laws. There were like 24 of us, and my sister-in-law rented two big banquet tables and set them up in the living room. It was super fun. We all shared the big meal together. There was no kids' table, but we were wanting for salt shakers. So for Christmas, my mother-in-law purchased 24 individual salt and pepper shakers so that we're ready for next Thanksgiving. Needless to say, the family into which I married has a profoundly individualized relationship with their salt. In today's reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus invites us to consider a few different metaphors for the life of faith: salt, light, and a city on the hill. These few verses are a part of a much larger set of teaching and instruction that Jesus offers his followers in Matthew's gospel. And at first listen, it's not entirely clear how we're supposed to take these few verses. Are they commands? Instructions? Good advice? Promises? Or maybe a little bit of all of those. And if you heard Pastor Freeman reading these verses and started to feel a little overwhelmed, don't worry. I get it. I feel that way too when I hear these passages. You are salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Most days, I don't feel particularly well equipped for the task of being either salt or light for anyone, much less the entire world. This world often feels so incredibly dark, and so much of what happens leaves a terrible taste in my mouth. Surely I can't be the one to provide light for this world. I'm kind of a mess myself. Just ask my colleagues. They'd be happy to tell you. 20-plus years ago, when I was much younger and had way more hair, I spent my summers in college working at the church that I grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin. And that summer, there were three of us on the summer church staff. We were all in our late teens or early 20s, and our job was to provide opportunities for the church's junior high and high school youth, try to figure out ways to get them to connect with each other and with the church over the summer. And so we put together postcards and sent out mailings, because I'm that old, there was no email. We booked trips to some like fun amusement parks in the area. We planned outings to local restaurants. Nothing that we put out there was super well attended. One of the things that we did was every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon, we just offered drop-in times for our junior high students. And usually there would be like 4 or 5 seventh graders that would show up. Some days we would go to the park, try to play some games that we'd planned. But it's really hard to play kickball with 6 people. And so most afternoons we'd wind up just hanging out in the church basement. And I have this distinct memory of feeling like we weren't very good at our jobs. We weren't being very successful. But then one day, toward the end of the summer, the mom of one of the boys who had been there almost every day pulled me aside and she said, "I just want to tell you how much my son has looked forward to being here. This has been such a bright spot in his summer. He loves being here, so thank you for what you're doing." Now, I recognize that I'm entering into dangerous territory here. One of the cardinal rules that I ascribe to when it comes to preaching is never tell a story about yourself in which you're the hero. But here's the thing. Nothing that I did with those boys that summer was remarkable at all. In fact, I'm not sure that I was ever all that kind to any of them or any of the people that I worked with. I was 20 years old, and I thought that I knew just about everything. And I was really frustrated when my big plans didn't come to fruition that summer. So I'd kind of come to resent the fact that I only had these 4 or 5 seventh grade boys that showed up week after week, day after day. It just felt like this constant reminder of what a disappointment I'd been. But turns out, the church that I was working for didn't see it that way. They asked me back next year. The boys who had these young adults who were choosing to spend time with them, they didn't see it that way. And now, with close to 20 years of hindsight, I can say that I don't think God saw it that way either. I now know that whatever efforts I made that summer were part of something so much bigger than just me. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. If any of you have studied other languages in your lifetime, you've probably run across some that differentiate between second person singular pronouns and second person plural pronouns. French does it. Spanish does it. The Greek language does it. English does not, unless you're from the South, where they say y'all. Or from Wisconsin, where we say, "you guys." When Jesus says, "you are the salt, you are the light," he's talking to you and to the person sitting next to you and to the person on the other side of you. The "you" is plural. You are absolutely and unequivocally called to be salt and light for this world, but you don't have to do it all alone. You can't do it all alone. Being salt and light in God's kingdom are never, never individual exercises. You get to be part of the body of Christ. You are a part of the church of Christ. And together, we get to bear light, the light of Christ in and for this world. Together we get to create space for young people to know and trust that they are loved and cherished by our God. Together we get to provide care and dignified living environments for folks with disabilities and mental health needs and folks who are nearing the end of life. Together, each and every week, we get to feed hundreds of people. Together, we are salt and light for this world. And together, we get to bring light and hope and healing to this world. That's Jesus' command. That's Jesus' promise to all of us this day and forevermore. Amen.